Becker on Darren Donick and Chase, brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joints. Smoother than smooth here on this Tuesday morning. Titans and Ravens. A Sunday noon kickoff up in Baltimore, M&T Bank Stadium. Jim Nantz, the A-Crew. Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. Tracy Wolfson working the sidelines. Our buddy Gary Stein is on the line with us. 105.7, the Fan up in Baltimore. Gary, how the heck are you?
Yeah, just like everybody else, making it day to day. What about you guys?
Well, we were just talking about buyouts, and I have just proclaimed on the show, if I could ever get the Will Muschamp buyout that he just received at South Carolina in radio, which would be $270,000 a month for the next 49 months, that I would have quite the party at the house. No one should feel sorry for me. And oh, by the way, Gary, I would fly you down. You're invited.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'll split it with you if you want. I mean, absolutely, I would go for that.
Don't think that buyout's coming anytime soon, but you know what? I'll just keep wishing and hoping. All right, let's talk about these two teams, these two 6-3 teams that right now don't feel good, right? 6-3, if you would have said at the beginning of the season, you would say, okay, weird year, weird offseason, you know, no preseason. Okay, yeah, sure, everybody signs up and feels good about it. Well, both get off to the good start, and both don't feel like they're going the right direction right now. Is that fair to say? At least that's how we feel down here. What say you up there?
Yeah, that's a great point, and I think we feel the same way up here. I mean, you mentioned the record, 6-3. You know, depending on what you guys do in your division, if you win it or not, this is a huge game. Potentially for playoff seeding. It doesn't look like the Ravens are going to win the division. It doesn't look like they're going to be able to be home for the playoffs. But, you know, so yeah, again, big game for seeding. And I would agree. I think, 6-3 is not a bad record. But the direction that this team is going, the way it's played over the last, really, I would say, month, the injuries that have started to pile up, the weaknesses, the flaws that are starting to become exposed because of those injuries, and also just, you know, how things get exposed over the course of the year, doesn't lend itself to a great feeling right now here in this town.
A lot of people are starting to wonder if the MVP last year and this offense that does not look the same, and Lamar Jackson does not look the same, a lot of people are floating out there that maybe the league is starting to figure him out. Do you buy any of that?
I mean, I buy into it, Darren, to a certain degree. I think that, you know, there's more film on him, obviously. Instead of a team having the ability to prepare for him just 1 week out, they have been able to look at stuff all summer long, you know, and it's a copycat league, and teams adapt. And they saw what Tennessee did to the Ravens last year, and they saw what the Chargers did the year before, and you know, so I think I buy into that a little bit. But at the same time, as you know, football is a team game. It's much more complicated than that. There have been a lot of injuries in key positions that have hindered Lamar's ability to perform. And to be honest with you, I think one of the biggest weaknesses of the team is outside at the wide receiver. You know, we can talk about it, but Marquise Brown and Miles Boykin have not performed well this year. There are reasons for that. We can talk about it. Dez Bryant seems to be a non-factor. Who knows? Maybe he will be for the rest of the year. And so, yeah, I don't think Lamar's getting a lot of support either at the same time that defenses are learning how to play him a little better.
Have you guys had fans? You're not having fans in the stands, correct?
Well, we're not having fans in the stands this week for the game against Tennessee, but the last couple games we have. But now because of COVID, you know, propelling itself, I guess, for lack of a better term, they've decided to not have fans.
Okay. I've got Marquise Brown on one of my fantasy teams, and I've been thoroughly disappointed with him. Well, you brought him up just now, and you're, like you said, Willie Snead was the target Sunday night in the pouring rain in Foxborough. Why has Hollywood Brown's numbers been way down, in your opinion?
In my opinion, his numbers have been way down for two reasons. Number one, I don't believe he's strong enough to create separation at the line of scrimmage, and I think teams are jamming him and aware of that. Number two, and he's never really been a great route runner. He's always depended on speed. He's always depended on finding cracks in the middle of the field and then getting yards after catch. And that's just not happening right now. I think he needs to develop. He needs to polish his route running skills. And it's different in the NFL. It's much different in the NFL than it is in college. And so what worked in college, it may not work in the NFL, and it's not for him. So I think he needs to get polished in order to become a better receiver in the NFL.
Another guy that I took in one of my leagues, Kelce went, then Kittle went. I was like, all right, I got the – there's been a little run on tight ends. I'll go jump up there and take Mark Andrews. Uh-huh. Kittle's been basically hurt all year. And I'm like, all right, beginning of the year, and that's why I took Mark Andrews. Look how good he looks early on in the year. Well, that was the last time I have felt that way. What's happened with Andrews? I kind of feel like he's going the wrong direction. I know they're still targeting him, but it just hasn't felt the same over the last month.
Yeah, no, nothing's felt the same here in Baltimore as far as the football team over the last month. I think, you know, they tried to give over the last month. One of the things they've tried to do is get Boykin and Snead and Marquise Brown more involved in the offense. It's only been successful to a limited degree. So therefore, I think the chances for Andrews to shine, you know, have been diminished a little bit. I wouldn't worry about him, Darren. I think he's going to come back. I think they're going to go to that, go to his route, go to that middle a little bit more over the next few weeks. Plus, the Ravens have a fairly easy schedule coming up, especially down the stretch in December. I don't think this game against Tennessee, I wouldn't include this Tennessee game in that stretch. This is a very difficult game for the Ravens. I do think his production has diminished, but I think it's going to come back.
Gary Stein is with us from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, a longtime friend of the show, and every time these two teams play, we always want to get Gary's perspective on the Ravens. So, Gary, this is always a tough one to answer because, you know, some people are like, come on. You know, this is the NFL. These are professionals. But do you think there's a revenge factor here? And it's always hard to quantify, but just what happened in the playoffs last year, I've got to believe that's in the back of the Ravens' minds.
I've got to agree. I mean, I don't know that it's in the front of their minds because I think professional athletes don't allow that to happen. But absolutely, I think it's human nature to remember. I mean, they're going to look at the tape from last year's game. They're going to be reminded about last year's game. They're going to want to correct the things that needed to be corrected from last year's game. You know, the last thing they want is for Derrick Henry to show up and run for another 200 yards. So, yeah, I think it's there. I think it's human nature. But I think in the front of their minds is definitely going to be looking forward, and that is, what do we have to do on Sunday to win this game? But if look, these guys may be NFL players, and they may be thinking on a different level and all that stuff, et cetera. But at the end of the day, they're humans just like everybody else. There's got to be a little bit of a revenge motive in there, and I think it truly is part and parcel of this week.
Well, we know last year in the playoffs, it all started with the way that Derrick Henry was able to run on them. I was looking at the rush defense numbers of the Ravens, and up until Sunday, certainly you would say this was going to be a really tough game for the Titans. But I think we were all intrigued at how the Patriots were able to run it right at the Ravens, and I don't want to say completely control the game, but they certainly won the game by being able to grind it out with some sort of average offensive players, at least to that point in the season. So what happened on Sunday?
Well, I think I would call the Patriots probably an average offensive team, but I would say that their offensive line is actually one of the top offensive lines in the league. And you combine that with the fact that the Ravens were hurting on the defensive line. I'm not making excuses. Believe me, injuries are part of the game. But when you don't have a Calais Campbell on the field, and you may not have him on Sunday either against Tennessee, when you lose Brandon Williams at the beginning of the game, like second period against New England, that's going to hurt. And the guys that replaced them, rookies, Justin Madubuike, Broderick Washington, you know, those aren't guys that you want to be replacing Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams with. So what happened was those guys exposed the Ravens' middle linebackers, inside linebackers, Patrick Queen and Malik Harrison, who are both rookies, both are on the come, However, they're both undersized. When you've got guys like Campbell and Williams protecting those guys and creating lanes for them to shoot through and make plays, that's one thing. But when you've got Madubuike and Washington getting manhandled by a good New England offensive line, double-teaming, you know, doubling down on both of those positions, it creates holes. And I think New England had a perfect game plan. They executed it perfectly in adverse conditions, and the Ravens weren't up to the task. You know, period, full stop, bottom line. You know, I'm really worried, to be honest with you, about Tennessee's offensive line and their running back coming in against a depleted Ravens defense at this point.
We're talking Ravens with Gary Stein in Baltimore, and I know that the run game centers around Lamar pretty much, but where are they with J.K. Dobbins right now? Is he about where they thought he would be in his rookie year, or behind or ahead of schedule?
That's a good question. I think they're okay with where J.K. Dobbins is at this point. I think he's actually probably, in terms of usage, a little bit ahead of schedule, and a couple reasons. Number one, Mark Ingram's been hurt. He missed two or three games, came back, was not very effective Sunday night against New England, still probably favoring that ankle a little bit. Conditions weren't good. Second reason, I think Dobbins has that, you know, a little bit of that motor that he can get to the outside a little bit better and make a big play. Having said that, and I may be in the minority here in Baltimore, I don't really know, I've not been extremely impressed with J.K. Dobbins, to be honest with you. I don't think he's been that much of a factor in the pass game. I thought that he would be more of. I know the Ravens talked about him being more of a factor in the passing game. In fact, the Ravens are one of the worst teams in the league when it comes to throwing to their running backs out of the backfield, and that's an issue. Because when your receivers on the outside aren't getting open and breaking contain, you want more opportunities for your quarterback to dump off and make plays, and those running backs aren't responding. So I think Dobbins, although I'm a little bit disappointed personally in his production, and I don't think he's quite as quick as we had been told that he was, I think he's probably ahead of schedule in terms of his volume and his usage in the Ravens offense.
Gary, of course, this time of year you start playing the, all right, what does this coach need to do to keep his job? Is this seat warm? And you start kind of thinking of ahead of coaching changes around the NFL. What's the shine right now on the coordinators and Greg Roman and Wink Martindale? Are they two that you would consider as potential head coaching candidates in the near future?
Yeah, another good question. I believe so. I think that Greg Roman has developed a brand new, with the talent that he has, developed a brand new identity for the Ravens. As you guys well know, you've been following this thing for years. The Ravens, you know, until Flacco arrived in 2008, so what is that, for about 13 years, they had like 12 or 13 different starting quarterbacks. They were one of the worst offensive teams. They were offensively challenged, even at times under Flacco. In fact, a lot of people would say many times under Flacco, they were offensively challenged. But under Greg Roman and with the ability, obviously, of Lamar Jackson, let's give credit where credit is due, they have totally remade themselves into a very vibrant, versatile, you know, cutting-edge type of offense in the NFL. So, yeah, I think Greg Roman is high up on people's lists. Martindale the same. I mean, Martindale had to take the loss of Ray Lewis and Terrell Suggs and Ed Reed and, you know, all Hall of Famers. I mean, we're not talking all pros. We're talking Hall of Famers here and remake this defense. And he's basically done the same thing that Greg Roman has done on offense with defense. You know, if you look at Lamar Jackson and his ability, you know, I would say Lamar Jackson blitzes the defense, right? Well, Wink Martindale's defense blitzes the opposing offense. With all these schemes and angles and different players making plays from different places. So, yeah, I think they're both high on teams' lists for their innovative abilities and their ability to create defenses adapting to their talent.
All right, Gary, we do this every time we talk to you. You love making predictions, so, you know, gambling is legal now in Tennessee. The Ravens are favored by 6.5 on Sunday against the Titans. Who do you like?
Well, I'm not a betting man, so I'll reserve my judgment on the 6.5. But I'm going to tell you, I'm taking Tennessee. I think that Tennessee is not a good opponent for the Ravens right now. I understand that you guys have your own issues as well. I get it. I'm not as familiar with those issues as you are, but I know what the Ravens' issues are. And I think that that type of team that Tennessee is, the mentality of their coach and the demeanor of their quarterback and the style of offense that they play is going to be difficult for the Ravens to contain. I'm going to take the Titans by 4 in this game.
That means the Ravens would be 6-4. Yikes. By the way, the loser of this game, that's what I brought up yesterday, is going to be 6-4. Hard to believe if we would have said that 3 weeks ago. Gary, appreciate the visit as always. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Yep, you got it. Best to you guys.
Gary Stein, same to you. 105.7 The Fan up in Baltimore. Interesting stuff. He says Titans win. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about that on the other side. But right now, I want to talk to you about Week 10 of football is now officially in the books after the Bears' pathetic performance last night on Monday Night Football. No offense. Vikings win. Now it's time to get ready for Week 11. There's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook. That's America's top-rated sportsbook app. To add the excitement of Week 11, DraftKings Sportsbook is going to bring back their can't-miss offer. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, listen up. Head to the App Store, download it, it's free, and you don't want to miss this because if you go to DraftKings Sportsbook, they're going to give all new users the chance to earn a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 when you sign up using the promo code 1025GAME. DraftKings Sportsbook has endless ways for you to bet, from live betting to betting on your favorite players. They do it all, don't worry. If football isn't your thing, DraftKings is going to give all MMA fans who will sign up right now the chance to triple their winnings for any bet placed on UFC 255. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Once again, download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code 1025GAME. When you sign up, you'll get $1,000. Get up to $1,000. That code, 1025THEGAME, get a deposit bonus up to $1,000 for a limited time only. DraftKings Sportsbook, you must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.